I'm kind of like, okay, if we complain, then that's, yeah, I don't know. It's really our own decision to be here. So, and I had my 75th ice cream today.
And it's not that winning the race is the only good way. I think all the, or a lot of people more back in the field have an experience which is as valuable or even more valuable than the ones in front, because they really experience the road.
I stay here for one more week. So I think it's the best birthday you can have. Finish a party of TCR. Doesn't get any better.
Welcome to the Lost Op podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. Day 12 at TCR number 12, and we start this episode under the baking Grecian sun at the finish line in Kalamata. Our top five riders are already back in the hutch, and today we expect to double that number and complete those top 10 positions. In fact, as dawn breaks, some of those riders are already here, arriving in the early hours. Having had some time to get some sleep and a lovely shower, race reporter Jake speaks to our sixth place rider, Manuel Rudez, cap number four.
We're sitting here now looking out over the Ionian Sea, and how does it compare to last year, Manu?
Yeah, it's difficult to say because you experience a lot. I experienced a lot last year, and I found myself in a completely different situation this year. So, yeah, it was really complicated, and yeah, you just have to adapt each day and make the most strong ride possible. But knowing what I could do last year, it helped me a lot to finish this in a good manner this year. Yeah.
You know, to be sixth across the line then to Kalamata, despite you saying every pedal stroke was, was painful. That speaks to your mental strength, Manu. You've got to be proud of that.
Yeah, sure. Because, I wanted to give up already the first night, the first morning. I went deep into what I could do, and I said myself, no worries, you're here because you wanted to be here. There is no obligation to continue. There is no obligation to give up. There is only the way you can, you have to ride. You ride it or you don't ride. It's the same, but yeah, I found solutions to ride it finally. And I'm really happy to be here. Yeah. And let's say that was a long journey against myself and against the constraint. But at the end, that's the most satisfying, to be foot on the sand and nothing else now.
Robert Muller, cap 37, arrived in Kalamata at the crack of dawn. Not for the first time, Robert has managed to ride a brilliant race, while also providing some memorable moments for dot watchers back home. But before we hear from the man himself, yesterday Jake caught up with Robert's parents.
We are here to meet our son, to welcome him here in Kalamata, which is Robert. And it's first time that we are at the finish of one of his ultra cycling activities. And it's a surprise for him. He doesn't know yet. Yes. So that's, and for us to be fair to say, a unique thing, and we love it. We like it a lot, and we love the last days here in Greece. As we wouldn't have never been here, and it's a unique opportunity for us. And now we are looking forward to see and welcome him, and everything is prepared. There is a a bed, you know, shower.
I have prepared pasta for him.
Pasta for him. And you know, it's just 3 kilometers from the finish line. So that's excellent. Everything
that's
is prepared.
That's going to be wonderful. Well, it's the first time this race, yes. Everything will be prepared for Robert. Am I right in thinking that the finishers party is a special day for Robert?
Si. Also, yes.
Yes, the finishers party, that's another thing, a special thing. It's his 40th birthday on 8th of August.
And am I right in thinking that you got Robert into cycling originally?
Yeah, yes. And in an age of, well, it's 20, almost 30 years ago, when he was 10, 11, 12, 97, I think. First time we were at the Tour de France, when Jan Ulrich, the famous German rider, was really on the top. And we did these things. And then, randomly, in the neighbor a village, they started a cycling activity. A small group of riders, of young kids at that time, 10, 11 years old. And later on, two of them developed to the Bavarian team and did national competitions. And still further, they went up for international races. And one of them was Robert then, yeah. So he's been cycling for us since 28 years, almost 30 years. So we have in our cellar, whatever, 12, 15 bikes, or, you know, all the stuff he's freshening up of old material, new bikes or almost new ones, or, you know, or half new ones. And there are wheels, you know.
So your home is his workshop where he crafts incredible contraptions.
The first floor, the cellar is full of his stuff.
And here he is, the one and only Robert Muller, Cap 37 and 7th at TCO number 12.
Hey, so how does it feel to be here?
Oh, it's so nice. Yeah.
What a wild race for you, you know, like every race, Robert.
Yeah, I gave on last Saturday, I had so many problems, you know, with a broken cassette, and I blocked my phone, so then I was offline, I couldn't use my phone anymore, I blocked
the
SIM
card. How did you block your phone again?
It went off, and when I turned it on, I put in the PIN code 3 times, the wrong one.
For the SIM?
Yeah, for the SIM card, because my brain was not working anymore. And then it said SIM card is blocked, I need some other code, but I didn't know, so I was offline since Saturday.
So for the whole of the rest of the race, you were offline?
Yeah, I only had, once a day when I went to the supermarket, I had open Wi-Fi, but I didn't check the trackers since Saturday, so I had no idea about my position, about the route choices of the others and stuff.
Do you think it would have changed anything for you if you had a...
No, I don't think so. Yeah, and then on Saturday, I gave up my race because I was so down and I lost a lot of time, and I sit down in a bus stop just spending time for nothing, and in the supermarket I sit down and was really like depressed. And then I thought, I will just ride for the finish. I don't care about the race anymore. And I just did my own thing.
And then you came in seventh.
Yeah, it's quite okay. Yeah, 3 years ago, I was fifth, and I tried to do better this time, but it was not better.
But did you enjoy it more, or enjoy it?
Yeah. I enjoyed it more. 3 years ago, I suffered a lot, and this time I didn't suffer, and yesterday I enjoyed, so I enjoyed much more.
And then, how was it having your parents here to surprise you on the finish?
Oh, it was very surprising. First, I didn't know if it's real or it's just a hallucination, you know? But it was real, yeah. And otherwise, I would have to care about all the stuff, getting clothes and food and where to sleep. I would have just slept here.
Yeah.
But so it was much easier. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And I hear you had a good meal prepared for you as well.
Yeah, I could eat pasta, and yeah, it was nice.
Glad to be relieved of couscous duties.
I had a bit too much couscous during the race.
And I hear it's also your birthday on the finishers party.
Yeah.
40th birthday, Robert. Yes. That's incredible.
Yeah, I stay here for one more week. So I think it's the best birthday you can have. Finish a party of TCR. Doesn't get any better.
It's not even 7 a.m. in Kalamata, and already another rider makes their way into town and over the finish line. Thomas Bury, Cap 337.
How are you feeling on, you know, reflecting on that now?
I'm not pleased with 8. I would have hoped for a better result, but I just didn't have the legs. And I wasn't the strongest, so. But I'm really happy with the mental state. I think my mental game was absolutely on point. I'm always optimistic. I had a lot of fun, and yeah, I enjoyed everything out of the parcours and all the gravel segment. They were just like super fun.
I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because like the physical versus the mental state and the memories of that are actually the things that, that I think stick longer term. They're sort of the more durable, actually.
For sure, for sure. I was saying to David this morning that before the race, if you would ask me what were my motivation, I was like, it's a need. I need to do that race. And I think I found some answer along the way in the fact that now I know why I needed it so badly, is that I think in the past few years I've lost a bit of self-esteem and confidence for some reason.
On the bike or just in general?
In general, overall. And somehow I knew that undertaking this challenge would help me gather some of them along the way, which I did. And I've never felt so proud since a very long time. So yeah, it's I now better understand why it was a need to do that.
Less than an hour later, our ninth rider into Kalamata rolls in. It's been another fantastic performance from TCR veteran Tim DeVita. After several additions right at the pointy end, will he be back for more? And if so, will he continue to meticulously plan his way through the race?
If I would do like other races still, I would also go more to the bohemian way of it.
Yeah.
Just try to like have some, I mean, last night I slept on the parkour. I always like to do it, but it takes a lot more time. You never sleep so well, so you need to take more time to sleep. But at the end of your whole ride, it's more fun. Okay, your race took longer, but you maybe got more out of it. So I wouldn't aim anymore for the high positions, also because I don't have time to train and to prepare properly, and I don't have the energy to spend on that as I used to have a few years ago. But I still like ultra cycling and the idea behind it. But I think it can be done in different ways. And it's not that winning the race is the only good way. I think a lot of people more back in the field have an experience which is as valuable or even more valuable than the ones in front, because they really experience the road and they bivouac in the strangest places and they really see everything in a more realistic way than just staying in a hotel, being annoyed that the guy is too slow checking you in. And then, yeah, I would say I'm not going to do ultra racing anymore. I would be more doing ultra pacing.
I like that.
So still push, but not with the aim to really like be the first or be as good as possible, but just be there quickly to like see the countries roll by. But if it takes a little bit longer, okay, it's fine. If your efficiency, the one I spoke about just before, is a little bit lower, fine. But it's for sure also as enjoyable, or maybe more.
That's 9 of the 10 top spots taken, and we've not even had breakfast on day 12 at TCR. Time to head back along the route to Albania and race reporter Sophie Potter and Control Team 2.
Good morning and welcome to Control Car number 2. I'm currently on the parkour 4, where it's like really steep. I'm really sorry to say it, but it's steep climbs. It's really warm now. And yeah, all the riders I've seen there are sweating a lot, but we found ourselves a little coffee in front of a little shop where they are super friendly. Like, they offered us water because they saw that we were like running after riders, so they offered us water. They are really, really nice, so it's a really good resupply point, and actually really good because every riders, almost all of them, have stopped there, so it's making our life really easy. And I'm about to talk to another rider. Hang on there.
Sophie speaks to Arthur Jean, cap 311.
You're going fast on those hills, huh?
So beautiful. It's
yeah?
Like, I was in Montenegro yesterday on the worst single tracks you could imagine, like rocks the size of bricks. And the contrast now is like so nice, and tarmac is super smooth, and yeah, the landscape is like I feel like I'm on Mars.
Did you choose to be on the single track yesterday?
Sort of. Let's say Ride with GPS had made that choice for me.
Yeah, okay. So someone else did the choice for you. So what animals are you today? Because apparently you were a salmon at some point.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely not a salmon anymore. I'm not sure. Is there an animal dogs are afraid of? Because I would really like to be that.
Yeah. What bad experience did you have with dogs? They are nice to us, but we're not on a bike.
Yeah, yeah. I got chased like probably 30 times. Not exaggerating. Mm.
So maybe Ride with GPS knows that you like animals, and so.
I miss Scandinavia for this. It's not about the heat, but the, like, you know, they had perfectly mown garden. Like, I think, Swedish and Norwegian people have a very strong mowing game. You could play golf on basically all of their front yard. And because they, instead of dogs, they had, like, those small robot mowers just going around and cutting the grass in like complete silence in perfect geometric patterns. And I really miss that. So if I can pass a message to any dog who might be listening, especially from Southern Europe, just guys, please channel your inner mowers. Stay within the confines of your lawns. Stay silent. Don't change. The best thing, cyclist, and just be more mower. That would be good.
Few riders go through a race as long as TCR without spending a few nights in various hotels along the route. Of course, often they're not there very long, as all they really need is a quick wash and maybe a few hours rest. It seems Marcus Carlos Hein, Cap 166, has found a very specific kind of stopping point that fits the bill perfectly.
I was staying in a Love Hotel, which is a bit of an odd story, but you know, where you go in with your car into a garage. And then, so you go on the compound, then you pay for a few hours, you go in the garage, close the garage door, and then go in the room, and then I had to ask for a blanket, to get a blanket. But it was great, it was 20 euros for four hours. and then I could just take the bike with me, and then I went out again.
And, yeah, you had the garage.
They're open 24/7, you can check in at all times.
Love doesn't wait, huh?
Lovely, yeah. Let's say,
Was it your first time?
It was my first time, actually. But I was kind of tired yesterday, last night, and then I saw that place, Motel 24/7, with a heart around, and I figured, that's my place.
Would you go back again?
Yeah, for sure. I would probably seek one out next time on purpose, because it was so convenient and so cheap.
And outside of race? That was my question.
Probably not. Probably not. Honestly, it didn't seem like the space I would look out for.
Sophie hands the mic over to race coordinator, Hannah Lobelestier. She speaks to Remy Majon and Marguerite Mulhouse, caps 414 A and B, who continue to lead the pairs category.
Are you enjoying the climbs? You two seem to climb well.
I got a little mental fracture this morning.
A mental fracture. Yeah. What happened?
Because it's a hard parkour.
We were counting the kilometers to the finish line and we said, yeah, maybe it will be almost done. And it's still a long ride to Greece.
It's a risky game to play, isn't it, looking at the kilometers to go?
Of course. Yeah. If you at some point you're tempted to make some calculations and say, yeah, maybe we manage to do it on some days, but yeah, you never know. But so far it's okay.
This year we didn't have any material issues like last year.
You had mechanical problems on the bike last year?
Yes, I broke my wheel, so I had to go back, buy a new one, and then start again.
Yeah, we lost.
We lost half a day because of
at the beginning of the race.
It was in Spain, but this year it's okay.
Just apart from all the hills, yeah, causing mental fractures.
Nicole van Battenberg, Cap 29, is one of many riders whose intake of ice cream has significantly increased the further south she's travelled. Combined with a good sprinkle of positive thinking, It's helping her ride an excellent race.
How are you?
All right, having a good day so far. Very wet, and that's not because it's raining.
Yeah, it's really, really warm, eh?
Yeah, but I'm not going to complain about it.
Yeah, good, good. Positive thinking.
Exactly.
Is this the way you're doing so well?
Yes.
Positive thinking?
Yes, I mean, it's my own choice to cycle in this heat, so there's people being in worse situations, so I just have to make the best out of it. Just eating a lot of ice creams, trying to, yeah, find ways to adapt to the heat.
I think it's a nice reminder, yeah, that indeed it's suffering, but it's,
I mean,
suffering,
I
on your
have
own
to
choice
to do this, you know. It's mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm kind of like, okay, if we complain, then that's, yeah, I don't know. It's really our own decision to be here. So, and I had my 75th ice cream today.
So you're counting? Okay, so you're in the race for the ice cream contest.
Yes.
Good.
I didn't do it in the beginning, but then I was like, oh, this is actually quite funny, and I ended up buying so many ice creams. Also because apparently in whole Serbia they don't have ice cubes, so I had to find another way
to cool down.
So I just bought like 10 Clippos or other ice creams and put it on my body everywhere. So now I'm on 75 already. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to keep track on that then. Yeah. All right.
She may be 12 days into her TCR experience, but Katharina Wurst, cab 199, feels like maybe she still has more to give and another gear to move into.
I think after Paco 2B, my family and friends, I have like a group, and we're like, wow, you're so fast, you're like ahead of the like big chunk of people. I was like, oh, really? Okay. Then at some point I checked the track and I was like, oh, I got a little like further in front. But my strategy was to go to Sarajevo and just in my pace and just do like easy peasy and then maybe reconsider how I go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's also my first race, so I
yeah.
have no idea. I just,
yeah.
I don't know how my, I didn't know how my body feels after 12 days. But then I arrived in Croatia and was, I think through Hungary, I went 380 Ks and still felt so good in the evening. I was like, oh, kind of sucks. It feels so tame and so, not boring, but I felt in so much control still. Mm-hmm. I was like, ah, I want to have more highs, like very high highs and more low lows. So I decided, all right, I'm going to sleep 1 hour less. That will do the job already. And then I will see the heat will do as well. Yeah, and I'm still just going at my pace, but I feel like entering the Balkans has become more of an adventure.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
The last couple of days have seen most riders at TCR number 12 either enter or pass through the Balkan countries, which seems like a good topic for as Sophie explains.
One thing I realized the last few days in the Balkans is just how many borders the riders have crossed. Every 400 kilometers, there is a new language, a new flag, sometimes even a different alphabet and different road signs. So why are there so many countries packed in such a small part of Europe? Well, get a map, because I think it's time for another, Sophie explains, today, the Balkans. First of all, what exactly are the Balkans? The Balkans are not a country, they are a region in southern Europe that includes countries like Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Montenegro, Serbia, Kosovo, Albania, North Macedonia, Bulgaria and Greece. The Balkans cover roughly 700,000 square kilometers, that's only a little bigger than France. So how come there is so many countries in such a small place? For centuries, the Balkans were not made up of lots of small countries. Instead, they were ruled by huge empires. The Roman Empire, then the Byzantine Empire, the Ottoman Empire, and the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Each one controlled parts of the region for hundreds of years, and each one left something behind: languages, religions, architects, food, and tradition. That's why during the same bag race, a rider can eat a Turkish-style pastry for breakfast, an Italian-inspired pasta for lunch, and grill Balkan food for dinner. They might hear church bell in one town and the call to prayer in the next. The landscape changes, but so does the culture. So when did all those borders appear? Surprisingly, not that long ago. for much of the 20th century, many of today's countries were actually one country, Yugoslavia. After the Second World War, Yugoslavia became a communist country led by Josip Broz Tito. He ruled a one-party state and kept six very different republics together under one flag for more than three decades. From the outside, it looked like one nation, but inside, each republic had its own language, its own culture, and its own history. So what happened? After Tito died in 1980, the tensions between those republics slowly began to resurface. Then with the fall of communism, Yugoslavia began to break apart. During the 1990s, those republics became independent countries. Sadly, the breakup was marked by several wars, which means many of the borders right across today are actually younger than many of the riders themselves. Today, most of those borders are peaceful, so for the riders, they are often just a passport check, although some border officers have clearly become addicted to watches, so don't be surprised if they look at you as if it's to say, come on, you can go faster than that.
Every day, a handful of riders decide to scratch and bring an end to their TCR journey for this year. Let's hear stories from two people who've had to make that difficult decision. First, Erikal Bagashvili, Cap 205, who originally made the call to our race communications manager, Andy Dodd, when he realised he wouldn't reach CP1 before the GC cut-off time. But that decision was made at night, and as the TCR's founder, Mike Hall, always advised, never scratch at night.
I remember when I asked Andy to scratch me from the race, he told me I could still race out of GC, but I was so frustrated of my mistakes that I said I didn't want to do it. But then when I was dragging my bike up a mountain, this Austrian guy showed up, Max, and he told me that he didn't care about the checkpoints and he would just ride his bike. And I was also going to Greece. And I texted Andy and asked him if it was still time to keep racing. And apparently Andy didn't scratch me. He gave me time to think about my decision. And he gave me the chance to still keep racing. I rode my bike, I think, 5 more days while being out of GC and 800 more kilometers. And those days gave me such a great lesson to think about my mistakes, not just in cycling, but in life in general. I'm so grateful for Andy and Max and this whole race to give me such an experience and motivate me to go back home, analyze my mistakes, work more, get better, and just be a better human overall.
Another rider who's decided to end their race early is Lucas Stiller, Cap 200.
Yeah, I had to scratch, unfortunately, in Poland after 2,000 kilometers due to a bottle holder. That an aluminium bottle holder that got loose while riding and went into my back wheel and cut it my carbon frame into two pieces. And yeah, so that was the end, actually. I think for myself, I learned that I'm asking my body a lot, and my body's on the other side giving me the opportunity and the capability to do those adventures. And I'm very thankful. And I think in the same way, I should keep always in mind to give that back to my body and be nice to it. I'm really enjoying it. And for sure, I'm looking forward to the next edition, TCR number 13. Let's go.
Back on the route to Control Point 4 in Albania is the final stop for our riders before they enter Greece and start to get a tantalising whiff of the finish line. Our two leading riders in the Flinter category, Sarah Boslett, Cap 120, and Camille Albisa, Cap 270, have already been and gone, and for them it's now an exciting dash to the finish. Behind them, Leah Hamburger, Cap 404, has been riding strongly since Trondheim, but only reaches CP4 after falling ill and taking a long, essential break to recover.
Like already yesterday in the morning when I started, I felt like super exhausted and like, I don't know, I just felt like I need to stop every couple minutes or so, and was just super tired and nothing really like go as planned. And then I thought like, okay, I will push to the checkpoint and then we'll just see how it goes. But when I was in Kostrze, I think, mm-hmm. the town like 80 kilometers from here, I was like, okay, no, it's just not working anymore. And I stopped at the restaurant and yeah, just wanted to eat something. And then there I started vomiting and yeah, just like puked out everything I ate in the last like 12 to 24 hours, I think. So I decided to stop at the hotel and get some rest and see how it goes. And yeah, today I'm feeling better again. Yeah, and feel like I can continue. So yeah.
Did you have a really long sleep at the hotel then?
Yeah, I slept for like, I don't know, 16 hours or so. I mean, I think I had a 20 hour stop now. So yeah, at least I got a lot of sleep, yeah.
Joanna Kessenheimer and Christian Holbeck, caps 10 and 14 respectively, have also reached CP4. They continue to ride as a pair outside of GC, and Joanna is enjoying this year's experience so much, she wouldn't mind it lasting a little longer.
Yeah, honestly, I know this mindset can change quickly again, but at the moment I feel I don't mind if the race goes like 2, 3, 4, 5 more days. I really enjoy it. Yeah, it's so cool. I think Albania was a really cool change. Yeah. Like people, like
when we came into Kosovo, it became really nice. Like for me, it became much nicer.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool.
Yeah, just the people were nice. We had really also good little chats with the people in the hotel. For example, this morning we met a guy at the hotel. He showed us his bike, really proud, and yeah, it was
super
cool.
Cute. Yeah. We had a little hiccup now, like on this, let's say, pseudo parkour, because like I was checking my routing device, and I was like, I was telling Jana, like, it's like maybe 5k to go. In reality, it was 40k to go, and we had no water anymore. And then, so every turn, we were like, maybe there's water coming, and nothing, until there was like a nice place to fill up water, and it was really good.
How's it been as a pair?
It seems like you still like each other. So that's
yes.
Good.
I mean, it's so cool.
Well, for her, it's good. She can go on her 80% and I just try to hang on.
Are you having to hold back for him?
Well, sometimes we are joking that I'm the like the TCR guide.
Yeah, like I booked an experience tour, you know, like
that's a pretty good.
Like these things when you do like with some famous mountaineering guy or something, you climb Matterhorn or something. Yeah. It's just for TCR. This is how it feels like.
Finally, we go back to the finish line and slightly back in time to 10:36 this morning, finishing his first TCR. Jonas Verrest, Cap 368, rolled into Kalamata to complete our top 10 riders at this year's race. He reflected on the experience with race reporter Jake.
It's gone quite well, so overall quite happy. I would have found it cool to play it with Jocelyn until the end, so that would have been fun. But no, it's been a first good one, super cool experience.
So now you've done your first. What do you think, Jonas? Are you going to be back for another?
Well, I think so. Whether next year or the year after, I think for sure. I think for me this year was kind of about the question like how, because I've done quite a few races already, but how near or not am I from the like top guys? Obviously, Robin kind of put us all to bed this year, but I think otherwise the answer was somewhere in the mix, and I think that's cool.
I think the answer was more than just in the mix.
It was going
very,
well.
Very close.
Yeah, I was happy also with the pace. You know, it was never too hard in the sense that, we sleep was never an issue. Like, I never really had any tough moments. So I think from that side, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And that gives also, because the first one, you prepare for what you think TCR needs and what it will be. And now it gives you kind of the full scope of the problem, so to say.
With the first 10 riders now safely home and a nail-biting wait to see who'll be the first to finish in the Flinter category, Jake and race director David are on hand to describe the buzz that's beginning to build in Kalamata.
So David, finish line in Kalamata, we're at Skipper's Bar, set the scene for us.
So we are on the side of a lovely marina here in Kalamata, and the kind of lapping of the water against the side of the marina and the side of the boats is the backdrop to the riders' arrival. Up above us is the cafe itself, which is generously hosting the finish line this year. So lots of healthy food, probably for the first time in about 11 days, being doled out to riders at the moment, along with a range of finish line beers, alcoholic and non-alcoholic. It is a balmy 38 degrees here as well, so riders are cooking up nicely as they come in, like a piece of Greek lamb. So we've now had the first 10 riders through as well, which is great. So that whole top 10 reaching the finish line in one piece, seemingly with little incident, but with lots of nice things to say about the race overall and their experience out on the parkour and at various different points. So it's been a really nice kind of positive atmosphere, fun to have a chat with them, hear a little bit more about their kind of very personal experiences. And now we're just set up and waiting for the rest of the riders to come through as well. So you can see we've got a couple more out on the finish parkour at the moment, and fast approaching it is leading Flinter rider on the road, Sarah Bosler, as well. So hoping that late this evening we'll be able to welcome her to the finish line as well, and that'll be another amazing race milestone. So yeah, keeping our fingers crossed for a calm but exciting day ahead.
And as well as all these individual stories, we're starting to see some collective themes emerging at the finish line. Themes around people sleeping more this race, enjoying it more as a result, people on their route choices. And what other things have been coming up, David?
I think you've highlighted a couple of the really consistent ones there. So sleep has definitely been a thing. Like, all of these riders have been saying that they've had schedules and rhythms, and they've really appreciated like sticking to those as well. So minimum of 4 hours sleep every night, sometimes up to six as well, depending on like the distance that they've covered or like what's coming next. And all saying how that's positively impacted their enjoyment of the race overall. So not putting themselves in such a deficit where it feels harder than it needs to. It's already a hard event. And they've raced in a way that is sustainable. And I think that's a really important shift that we've seen, particularly in the last two editions as well. So to see that kind of stretch further into the field has been really good. Lots of people have enjoyed the parkour as well. So that's always something which we hope to hear, but it's nice that it has been coming through consistently so far. I think a mixture of things that they have enjoyed, so not always consistently the same bits, but people have found joy in those moments. Tom Aburi mentioning the slight rock garden on parkour 2B as being a particular highlight. The bobsleigh track in Sarajevo featuring high on everyone's list of memorable moments, and then also the Finnish parkour. So we had Jonas Vares come in earlier in 10th place, and he was saying how he didn't see a car for over 50 kilometers on there, and how he felt just like alone and at peace as he rode towards that finish line, and what a beautiful experience that was. So hearing those little things is really nice. It kind of testament to why we do all of this, and like the thought and care that we put into it as a team. So to know that actually translates to rider enjoyment has been really nice as well.
Before we go, it's just time for race reporter Sophie to give us her own recap of the day.
Today in Control Car number 2, we arrived in Albania and stayed at the Parkour 4, catching riders next to a shop who refused to let us pay all day for absolutely anything. So don't tell anyone, but Albania is just incredible. Today one rider shared with something that really stayed with me. She caught herself complaining for a moment, then stopped and said like, no, I choose this. Reminding herself that this was something she had chosen, not something that had been imposed on her, helped her reconnect with the bigger picture. It reminded her why she had signed up in the first place. So the pain hadn't changed, the route hadn't changed. The only thing that changed was the way she looked at it. So maybe that's what a distance racing is really about. Not just finding the strength to keep pedaling, but remembering why you started pedaling in the first place. But now, let's see what the internet has for us with our Gossip Girl moment.
Gossip Girl is real?
Spotted, Nickel van Bantenburg, Cap 29, comfortably leading this year's unofficial ice cream classification with 76 ice creams so far. But with hundreds of kilometers still to go, this jersey is far from safe. Spotted, Michael Arlung, Cap 187, experiencing ultra cycling, one unwritten rule: if something is going to go wrong, it will happen in the middle of the night with no phone signal and on the roughest gravel you can find. Luckily, he came prepared and repaired a massive hole in his front tire with dental floss. That's what I call packing efficiently. Everything should have at least two purposes. Tonight, there is 16 riders after CP4 and 25 drinking fresh Mythos on the finish line, which means there is 229 riders on their way to CP4. Scratches, 128. Mike Hall, the founder of TCR, always used to say, never scratch at night. Not because you don't want to wake the comms manager, but because the night has a way of making every problem feel bigger. Sleep on it, wait the morning, or carry dental floss. I will leave you with what Dumbledore said: happiness can be found even in the darkest of time if one only remembers to turn on the light. So turn on your lights tonight, and in the meantime, good night and good ride, everyone.
Remember, you can read Jake's daily race reports from the Road on the Lost Stop website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.